Good evening, everybody. I'm probably going to hang around the microphone up here this evening. I feel like I'm starting to lose my voice for some reason. I know I already feel like I'm talking lower than what I normally do. And so bear with me, if you will, for a little bit. We're going to be talking about something that was stated in that text here, and we'll look at it again here in just a minute. But there's a word that appears within that text. It's hypocrisy. And it is a word that when we think about how the world sometimes views Christians, they view them as hypocrites. And we're going to talk about traits of hypocrisy. I want to make a statement before we get into this. And it's going to be this. Basically, I'm going to read you a comment. I cannot attribute this comment to anybody. I just know it's anonymous. But it's very true of sometimes of how the world views individuals. Because when you think about hypocrisy and Christians that claim to be Christians and are yet display traits of hypocrisy, it turns people off. But the man who says he is kept away from church by hypocrites is not influenced by them anywhere else. Business is full of them, but if he by chance sees where he can make some money, he does not hesitate because there are hypocrites making money. Society is crowded with them, and yet he never thinks of becoming a hermit. Married life is full of them, but that does not make him remain a bachelor. Hell will be full of them, and yet he is not doing anything to keep from going there. He makes you think he is trying to avoid hypocrites, and yet he takes not one single step towards the only place where no hypocrites can go, heaven. Honestly now, is he not being a little hypocritical? That's anonymous. That's uninspired, but when I read that and hear those words, that's exactly what I'm trying to think and what I would wish I could say to an individual that gives that response. The church is full of hypocrites and I'm not going to go there. Is it possible that the church has hypocrites in it? Absolutely. But is it not also possible that there are people who are genuinely trying to find their way to heaven, the only place where hypocrites will not dwell? Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to accomplish even here. We may make mistakes from time to time, and it has been said, you know, how something is wrapped up. Have you ever noticed that? You can go to the store, or better yet, when you open your Christmas presents, you don't know what's in there, do you? You've got a box, and there's a package there. It's all wrapped up nice, got this bow on it. You may think you know what's in it, but you may not always know what's in it because the box itself, the wrapping does not reveal to you what's on the inside. The very same thing is true of human beings. People can be wrapped up in these packages of suits and fine clothes and nice cars and nice homes. And, you know, we package ourselves every day, don't we? That big smile, that friendly demeanor. Yet we can still be less than we appear. That's hypocrisy. I think about this, and I don't know if you paid attention to the title slide. You saw two masks on the title slide. Greek theater, those were where masks were worn a lot. And the idea of the actor in there was he was playing the hypocrite. And that the idea that set forth there was he was pretending to be somebody that he's not. And see, that's what hypocrisy is. Hypocrisy is pretending to be something you are not, and yet you have no intention of being anything else. You know, Vines describes it as play acting, pretense. And the wrapping that we present to the world today, that's exactly how we present ourselves sometimes. We present ourselves as something that we may not be. And so we have to be careful. I want you to think about the warnings that are given in the Bible about hypocrisy. Our text this evening in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It points out that right there, that there will be those who will be speaking lies in hypocrisy. having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Individuals that will fall away from God. Individuals that separate themselves from His church and from the truth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. You're going to see here also. Therefore, for the child of God, especially the newborn child of God, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to put away all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. It's not supposed to be a part of our lives as children of God. But you know what? There is a description of hypocrites throughout the New Testament. And we need to be paying attention not only to those warnings, but we also need to pay attention to the fact that when Jesus told His disciples in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1 to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, it is something that it does influence people, whether we laugh at the individual that says, I'm not going to go to anywhere, go to a church because there are hypocrites there. It does influence people. It is a serious problem that needs to be addressed from time to time. It is a Bible subject. So you preach on it. You don't like preaching on hard subjects or difficult subjects, because when you get right down to it, we don't want to admit that we're hypocrites ever, do we? That's one of the last things you want to admit to. I want to qualify this first. That when a Christian sins, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a hypocrite. Because the world, when they look at us and they see a child of God do something that that the Bible says you shouldn't do, they immediately throw up the fact, well, he's a hypocrite. Not taking into account that from time to time, even those who try to be Christians and try to wear the name of Christ properly do sin, do err. What makes that individual not be a hypocrite is having a contrite heart like David had in the Old Testament, willing to repent of it and mend that fellowship that they have with God. That's what makes the difference. The hypocrite will just keep on going like nothing ever happened. The child of God, when he sins, there's remorse, godly sorrow that is produced in him. So, to avoid becoming hypocritical, I think we should consider some things in light of the Scriptures. And there are three basic traits that we're going to look at that we find in Scripture this evening. And one is that when we think of the hypocrite pays more attention to his reputation than to his character. And I think that's something that we see within Scripture also. Because when you think about this, you go back to Matthew chapter 6. And you look at what Jesus is saying there. Let's just turn there for just a second. Matthew chapter 6 and go back to verse 2. And as you look at the things that are being done, what is important to this individual? Because you go back to verse 1, it says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. And you drop down to verse 16. And immediately you see there, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. One thing that becomes quite evident when you begin looking at Scripture and you start talking about hypocrites is, who do they want to notice you? The sincere child of God wants God to pay attention to him. Now granted, if you're living a godly life, other individuals are going to notice, but your motivation is not to be seen by men, but to be approved of God. I think that's important to us, because what others will think and say, we have no control over. We really don't. When you hear an individual say, I don't care what other people think, That's not true. You do care about what other people think about you. But your sole motivation in life is to have your character such that God will commend you before men and not to be commended by men in general. Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to spend a little bit of time there this evening, and I want you to go ahead and turn back there. This idea of reputation or being seen by men is really spoken of by Jesus Christ there in Matthew chapter 23, and especially when he talks about things such as phylacteries and the hems of the garments of those who by pretense were being religious. When you look at these verses and you look beginning at verses 5 or going through verses 5 through 7, he says, "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Those first two things that are mentioned right there are actually were supposedly being done in remembrance of those things under the old law. The phylactery, which could be either be a box or a leather pouch, often was either tied around the wrist or so much forward of the forehead. And the bigger it was, supposedly the more scripture you knew. The problem was, is it was basically used to be showing off, even though going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 8, they were supposedly remembering God and His Word and the things of His Word. But all it was, the bigger they became, the more burdensome, cumbersome they were, it was more or less just showing off. And that's what Jesus is condemning right here. It's not how many scriptures you can quote that make you a child of God. It's actually living the life, living the truth that is contained in the scriptures that make you the child of God. You think about this, the enlargement of their borders goes back to Numbers chapter 15, where they were trying to remember the law of God. And supposedly the larger the border on the hem of their garment, the greater honor for the law. But in essence, everything that Jesus is condemning right here is these people were seeking honor themselves. Think about this for just a moment. When we pray, when we teach, when we preach, when we memorize Scripture, whenever we have Bible classes or we're visiting with someone, what is our motivation? Is it because of reputation, or is it due to the character that you have built based in the truth of God's Word? Because see, hypocrisy is nothing but pretend motives. You know, we don't need to be concerned with status. That was the thing about the phylactery. The bigger the phylactery, supposedly the more status you had as a religious leader or someone that's supposedly religious. Instead, be concerned with the truth that was contained within those pouches. You know, the old saying is, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Phylacteries and the border hems of those garments, they were just talking the talk, basically. They weren't walking the walk as a child of God as they should have. The thing that goes along with this too is because they're so concerned about their character, their motives are full of pretense. It's their pretend motives. Look at Matthew chapter 25 or 23 again. Drop down to verse 25. It says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, cleanse the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Well, we know that sin is lawlessness, so that's he's telling them they're full of sin. They're not who they're presenting themselves to be. Their motives, again, are simply to be seen by men. And what they do is, instead of taking care of the soul, the part that should be eternal in us, that will spend eternity with God, we're not taking care of that. How many of you, when you wash your cars, fail to sweep out the inside of the car and clean the inside of the car, but you have that outside of that car all nice and shiny? And then when it comes time to give somebody a ride, you say, oh, yeah, maybe not. My car's kind of dirty on the inside. The process is the same. We start on the inside. When we are living our lives as children of God, when we have given that life to our God, to our Creator, in obedience to His gospel, it is the cleansing of the soul. You remember, baptism is not the removal of the filth of the flesh, is it? What is it for? For that good conscience toward God. What is that? That's the inner man. It's the inner man that where pretense should never dwell. The inner man where hypocrisy should never take residence. Keeping up appearances while your private world and your heart are corrupt is what Jesus was condemning within these verses. Acting spiritual simply in order to cover up the sin that fills your life is hypocritical. And so we should be concerned about not just our reputation, but the character that our reputation is founded upon. You know, Mark chapter 12, verses 13 through 15, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they pose a question to Him. And in posing that question of should we pay taxes to Caesar, that text says that He knew their hypocrisy. He knew that they were there to test Him. He knew that their question wasn't honest. And that's what happens with individuals. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, we have the example of Peter. Sometimes character suffers at the hands of hypocrisy. And Peter was being hypocritical here. I don't know that he truly intended it this way, but that's exactly what took place. Because now when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For certain men came from James, but before certain men came from James, he would eat with Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Now, what was wrong with that picture? Peter allowed perception of those and influence of those outside to change his true conviction, to change what he knew was right, so he could be approved of them instead of doing that which was right. A pretend motive, a loyalty to the law that should have been there when another existed. He feared the Judaizers. There's something that should be said in this too, that what we should be doing instead of worrying about the reputation is build a character. Build the qualities of character. Add to our faith those things such as virtue and knowledge and the brotherly love and the kindness and all of those things that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1. Add those to our faith. Add those qualities of righteousness to our faith so that we are accepted by God, not simply by men. Concentrate on being right with God, and I promise you that reputation will take care of itself. When I think about, and I've got Luke 6:26 and Romans 12:10 up here. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Sometimes character is vilified by the wicked. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Character will be honored among the saints of God. A person whose yes is yes and his no is no. A person who means what he says and says what he means. A person who shows love and not just says that he loves somebody. A person who wants to walk the walk of a child of God and not just pretend to be a Christian. That's the things that Jesus was condemning in the Pharisees who were children of God, supposed to be children of God, supposed to be spiritual leaders. And you see the things that take place. Go back to Matthew chapter 23. And I want you to look at verses 23 and 24 here in just a moment. Because the second characteristic of hypocrisy is seen in these verses. The hypocrite carefully practices religious acts while his heart remains distant from God. And see, now, it's one thing. Here's that pretense. Remember we talked about Manasseh last week. And we talked about how that the consequences of sin, and even though he went back and he tried to restore worship in Israel after he came back out for his captivity, that the nation still only worshiped God in pretense. He tore down the high places that he had erected that his father had torn down. He tore those down after he came back to Judah. But the children of Israel still offered sacrifices on those high places. Jeremiah described their worship as only being in pretense. The religious acts of the hypocrite are only by pretense. The hypocrite observes details, sometimes without depth. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. The herbs that were being offered were, there was authority for those under the old law. But to neglect things such as justice and mercy and faith, that's why they were told they were straining at a gnat. They were majoring in minors is basically what Jesus was telling them at the time. And sometimes we can get ourselves on that train as well. We can get on there and start majoring in the minors, and we forget some of the weightier matters that we should be considering. Because both details in this were necessary. Their basis was vital. Now I want you to think about Psalm chapter 85 and verse 10 for just a moment. Because it is there that the psalmist says, "Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed." One of the things, quite often, this verse may be misused a little bit, but this verse does not excuse disobedience. And yet the Pharisee, the hypocrite here, as described by Christ, they were walking down a dangerous road of pretense. This inevitably leads to the traditions of men above the commandments of God. Matthew chapter 23, from verses 16 through verse 22. You can see that. That was an issue with the Pharisees, and it was condemned not only of the Pharisees, but of the Sadducees and any Jew that placed more importance in the tradition of men, because he told them that they taught as doctrines the traditions of men. And what happened was their heart was far from God when that took place. We can be just as guilty of that if we were not careful. We can elevate opinion. We can confuse the revealed word of God with man's interpretation of that. We must make sure that what we're looking at is not our opinion, but as we're studying on Sunday afternoons, is that book, chapter, and verse is always preferable to man's opinion. Speaking as the oracles of God, not straying from what He's taught and not injecting our own opinion is important. Matthew 15, 1 through 9, there's that idea of tradition. God's commandments were violated while man's teachings are pressed and bound upon others, all in the name of honoring God. We can evoke the name of God anytime, anywhere in the world, but if we're truly not in obedience to His Word, all we're doing is we're using what we think to be good and honorable instead of following what God says is good and honorable. You look at Matthew 23 and verse 13. But woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. What you find out is such type of pretense shuts people out of the kingdom of God. In chapter 15, Matthew 15 and verse 14, what Jesus says of those types of individuals, let them alone. Why? They are blind leaders of the blind. That's why. And what happens when the blind leads the blind? They both fall into the pit. That's what hypocrisy will do to us. The third and final trait that I want you to consider this evening that we see within Scripture is this, is that the hypocrite emphasizes his own virtue and the sins of others. I immediately, think of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18, but I want you for just a moment to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. While you're turning there, the example of that Luke gives us about the Pharisee and the publican is just that. He wants to extol his own virtue, and I'm grateful that I'm not like this sinner over here. In Romans chapter 2, though, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man. Why are they inexcusable? Because Paul has already in the previous chapter listed a lot of sins that are there, and what he's going to tell them, he says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, whoever you are that condemns. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. That's a terrible thing to say. That is hypocritical then, isn't it? If you're practicing the very same things that you're condemning, if you're practicing the individual or practicing the same things the other individual is practicing and you're condemning it, that's hypocritical. Verse 2, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. The old phrase, what goes around comes around, that's what's going to be practiced by God if we practice this type of hypocritical judgment of our own. It will come back on us. I want you to think about this, because the hypocrite does not put himself under the scrutiny, the same scrutiny with which he condemns others, does he? Matthew chapter 7. What's one of the verses that people will always shout back at you if you try to show them anything in God's Word to say that their lives might have sin in it? Judge not, lest ye be judged. That condemnation, that type of judgment, we have no business doing that. If we're starting to condemn people, we're whittling on God's end of the stick then. But if we're showing God's Word, and God's Word has the power to convict people of sin, then it's God that's doing the judging, not us. But the minute we start creating standards to live by that we don't want to live by, we start damaging our own influence. Because what happens when a person judges in that manner is he tears down another in order to build up himself. That's the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. He's, talking about how righteous he is, how good he is, patting himself on the back, all the while saying, I'm glad I'm not like this sinner. That's condemnation. That's unrighteous judging. And the child of God, you can judge righteously, but making that judgment is not a judgment of condemnation toward another individual. He tears that. Jesus calls us to use righteous discernment in our judgments. The hypocrite, though, what he does is he ends up creating double standards. One for you to live by that he doesn't have to live by. He becomes insensitive to the plight of others because he refuses to consider himself. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. If we are going to restore someone else who is struggling with sin, Paul tells us within that verse that we must consider ourselves so that we do not fall into the same snares of sin. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. And listen to what he says right there. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Take into consideration, sometimes it may not be the best thing for us to rush in and try to help, because we may succumb to the same thing that they are. Maybe it might be better for somebody else to help them out. But we must take into consideration that what we're trying to do is restore that soul. You need to take in consideration that you, before you start setting double standards for anybody else and being insensitive to other individuals, you must examine yourself to see whether or not you are in Christ, in the faith. You must do what the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Take heed how you stand. Because what we don't want is we don't want to fall. And hypocrisy, its companion, is self-righteousness. And there's the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. Self-righteousness. You contrast that with what's stated in James chapter 3 and verse 13 and what takes place with this Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. James 3 and verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." And you drop down to verses 17 and 18 of that same chapter, and it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." The meekness of wisdom avoids hypocrisy and strives for purity in itself while showing peace, gentleness, and mercy toward others. So just think about the three traits that we've talked about this evening. Because hypocrisy tends to hide itself in the crevices of human pride and conceit, but exposes the soul to an eternal condemnation. Sometimes it's better to admit hypocrisy now and be like that publican in Luke chapter 18 and shout out to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," than to, in hardness of our heart, rebel against God and lose our souls. But understand this, hypocrites are everywhere. They don't just exist in, quote, a church. They're everywhere in life. But as children of God, we must remember who we are and whose we are and present ourselves to the world in such a manner that they see the transformation that was supposed to take place when we put on Christ. You think about the Apostle Paul and what he said to those who, in Galatians chapter 3, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." He's telling them that their life was changing. The character that they were supposed to have was to change. That transformation in Romans chapter 12 was supposed to begin. And when I said earlier in this lesson that just because a child of God sins does not mean he is a hypocrite, I meant that because sometimes that transformation is not instantaneous in our lives. That transformation is a process. We grow continually. And as long as we continue to grow and do not stop growing, as long as we have put our trust in God for all things, it's very unlikely that we will demonstrate characteristics of hypocrisy. The minute we start putting our trust in ourselves, the minute we start putting our trust in our "I think so's" and "I believe's," and then that's when we start endangering our lives. Put your full and complete trust in God, and He will help you take heed how you stand so that you don't fall. Take out your songbooks. If you're here this evening, the invitation is, song has been selected to provide you an opportunity to reconcile your life to God. And if you need to put on Christ tonight in baptism, we stand ready to assist you. If you just need to reconcile your life to Him as one who has strayed from God, we stand ready to assist you. Be resolved to do that this evening. Do not delay. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.